This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, what is going on with the Church of England?
Well, the Church of England, also known as the Anglican Church, has announced they're going to appoint a new Archbishop of Canterbury. So I want to read something from the Associated Press about this. The Bishop of London, Sarah Mullally, was announced as the next Archbishop of Canterbury, the first time in 1,400 years that a woman's been chosen as a spiritual leader of the Church of England. Mullally is 63. She's a former chief nursing officer for England. And one of the reasons for picking her is that church leaders haven't done enough to stamp out sexual abuse scandals that have dogged the church for more than a decade. It's a major milestone for this church. The first ordained female priest in 1994, first female bishop in 2015. And the Church of England claims that their first Archbishop of Canterbury was Augustine in the year 597. Anyway, her appointment was welcomed by British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, and Mullally is replacing Justin Welby. He announces a resignation in November after an independent investigation found he failed to tell police about serial physical and sexual abuse by a volunteer at their summer camps. Anyway, the AP concludes with basically saying, the Anglican Communion has more than 85 million members spread across 165 countries, including the Episcopal Church of the United States. So that's something about their church.
Did not know the Episcopal Church was part of the Anglican Church of England. Can you give us some background on Miss Mullally?
Yeah. Wikipedia says she's a self-appointed, described feminist. She's considered, according to the Financial Times, to be a theological liberal. And in 2022, she supported the observance of the LGBTQ plus History Month and launched an advisory group on how to deal and help with LGBTQ people. And she also has been is a pro-abortionist. So that's from Wikipedia. Well, you know, of course she'd be categorized as a liberal theologically, as biblically, you know, females aren't supposed to be ordained. They're not supposed to preach. And of course, they're not supposed to kill their unborn babies. Those currently called liberals, by the way, do not believe the Bible, and they don't believe anybody else should either. Now, as far as being liberal goes, I want to read a prophecy related to the coming kingdom of God from the book of Isaiah, from the King James Version of the Bible, Isaiah 32:5. The vile person shall no longer be called liberal.
Explain to us how the words vile and liberal in that verse apply to Miss Mullally's views.
Well, supporting the killing of unborn babies is vile. And while most of those people who call themselves liberals think that they're nice, the reality is that they're not. They are vile. But in the coming kingdom of God, that won't be the case. Anyway, Sarah Mullally also endorses non-biblical observances. And by the way, one of her titles is, quote, Right Reverend. The Anglicans, as well as many Protestants, refer to their ministers with titles like the Reverend, the Right Reverend, or simply Reverend, but we in the Continuing Church of God don't do that.
Is calling someone Reverend really such a big deal?
Well, according to the Bible, God's name is Reverend. Quote, holy and reverend is his name. Psalm 111, verse 9, Old King James. By the way, the Church of England used to use the Old King James Bible, and therefore it should know better. And despite what the Bible says, the practice of calling Greco-Roman clergy reverend seems to be gone in the English-speaking lands around the 15th century, and it was in habitual use by Protestants in the 17th century. Therefore, it was not a biblical or original Christian practice. And as far as the Bible goes, in Jude 3, Old King James, it says you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And that's not something that the Protestant Church of England does. Furthermore, the white collar that the Anglican clergy wear doesn't come from the Bible. Now, some say it was invented in the 19th century, but versions of it were worn by Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox priests earlier than that. And the Egyptian pagan priests also did a version of this on their collars thousands of years ago. And by the way, a collar was associated with the worship of the sun god Mithras. Here's something about this. Mithras wore a Phrygian cap. His choke collar is a serpent. Now, the ministry in the continuing Church of God, we don't wear priestly choke collars like the Anglicans and Roman Catholic clergy do. Furthermore, the distinctive clothing for the ministry that they use was not employed by early Christians. They dressed the same as the regular church congregants.
How and or when did the clothing representative of false gods enter these religions?
In the 4th century, under the influence of Emperor Constantine, the Greco-Roman clergy adopted versions of the clothing styles of the sun god priests and other members of Constantine's court had, including versions of the collar and weird caps. And scholars admit that special clerical clothing came from pagans, and it was adopted because of Constantine. Now, all Protestant ministers have not adopted symbols of pagan dress, but many, like the Anglicans, including Sarah Mullally, have. Now, that being said, the BBC reported some other things about this. It says technically the King of England is the head of the Church of England, but the person holding the role of the Archbishop of Canterbury is the most senior bishop and is the spiritual leader of the church. And King Charles III has congratulated Dame Sarah on her new role, which is of importance to the UK and the global Anglican communion, according to Buckingham Palace. Now, she doesn't actually legally take her role till she's a confirmation of election in January, and then she gets enthroned, is what they use. Now, BBC mentioned that the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans, which represents, quote, conservative views, has criticized her appointment. They said they received it with sorrow, according to something I saw in the news today. And they also said that the majority of Anglican community still believes the Bible requires a male or only episcopacy. So while King Charles has endorsed her, conservative Anglicans assert that the Bible requires a male-only clergy of bishops. And sadly, the fact is that the leadership of the Church of England does not believe in the rallying cry of the Protestant Reformation of Sola Scriptura. Now, let me mention that the Church of England officially now uses and endorses the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible.
So does that translation allow women to be able to preach sermons in church services or to be bishops?
No. I'm going to read from it. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 12 from the NSRV. Let a woman learn in silence with full submission. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent. So at the early Christian church didn't have women preaching in services. Also, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 to 35, also from the New Revised Standard Version. Women should be silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but should be subordinate. As the law says, if there's anything they desire to know, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. So, no, women aren't supposed to be preachers and teachers in church services. Now, as far as being bishops go, I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 1. The saying is sure. Whoever aspires to the office of a bishop desires a noble task. Now, a bishop must be above reproach, married only once. Well, that's their translation, but the actual Greek says the husband or the man of one wife. And I looked it up again this morning. Anyway, he must manage his own household well, keep his children submissive. If someone does not know how to manage his household, how can he take care of the church, God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he might be puffed up. Moreover, he must be well thought by the outsiders, that he may not fall into disgrace. Now, verse 11. Women, likewise, must be serious, not slanderers, but temperate, faithful in all things. So we see that bishops are supposed to be men who had one wife. Okay. These pronouns, he and him, his, are talking about men for bishops. And also, okay, Paul does mention women, but not that they were supposed to be bishops. Okay. Also, in Titus, chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, Paul wrote, "Let the bishop, I left you behind in Crete for this reason, put in order what's done. You appoint elders in every town. Someone's got to be blameless, married only one." Once. Again, it says, the man of one wife, okay, literally. For a bishop, verse 7, must be blameless. He must not be arrogant or quick. He must be hospitable. He must have a firm grasp of the word. Okay, so again, it's talking about a man, reference to the pronoun he, and he's supposed to be trustworthy to the word of God.
Does the Bible also address some of Miss Mullally's other personal views in light of the Bible?
Yeah, well, related to Sarah Mullally's promotion of LGBTQ plus month, it says in Romans chapter 1, again, I'm going to use the NRSV, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth." Verse 22, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Verse 26, "For this reason, God gave up to degrading passions. Their women exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural." Same way the men gave up natural intercourse with women, consumed passion with one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Verse 32, "They know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, that they don't only do them, but they applaud those who practice them." So endorsement of this LGBTQ stuff and promoting their events should not be done by people who believe the Bible. And although the New Revised Standard Version glosses over it, verse 32 is actually tougher than what it says in the New King James. Quote, "Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only those who do the same, but those who approve of those who practice them." No Christian, no real Christian leader should endorse LGBTQ plus events, as even the approval of such is clearly condemned in the Bible. Now, where are churches supposed to get their doctrine from? Society? No, from the Bible. Even the New Revised Standard Version teaches, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3, starting verse 16. "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." The Church of England has clearly refused to base its teachings on the Word of God. Of course, it's not just the Church of England has this issue. You've got all kinds of Protestants that way who don't really believe in sola scriptura. Now, we have a free book, free ebook. You can find it at ccug.org, called "Hope of Salvation: How the Continuing Church of God Differs from Protestantism." It explains how Protestants don't really believe in sola scriptura. And you can see what's happened now in places like the Church of England, what they're doing. And, you know, you're supposed to preach stuff even if it's not popular. And that's what the Bible teaches in 2 Timothy 4. But, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 4, "One does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God." But we, the Continuing Church of God, strive to do this. So we don't believe that women are supposed to preach nor condone abortion or sexual immorality. Now, look, there are many roles for women, but being a preacher or bishop isn't among them. They're biblically reserved for men. All who claim to be Christian need to believe and obey the word of God. And sadly, that's not the case of the Church of England.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.
This Bible News Prophecy Program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org. You can also reach us by email. Our address is BibleNewsProphecy@gmail.com.